Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
So you say, well, I can't do this. How do you know you can't do it? Well, I don't know what I'd say. We'll help you. We'll get you a guide. We'll show you. We'll give you some examples of ways to do it. I have a way that I do it that works. We can show you a way to do it. You may have a way to do it. But don't die not trying.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Go Fishing. Let's start with Matthew 4:19. This is my evangelism verse, one of them, the main one. Matthew 4:19, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? So I said this at a retreat, a men's retreat, and it did not go over well at all because there were some angry, old, godly men there. Put all that together, and that's what you get. You know, those guys that know Jesus well but wouldn't tell anybody about him if they had to, but they're running everything. Anybody know these people? Yeah. So my contention is, if I meet you and you tell me you're a follower of Christ, then I make an assumption based on the scriptures. And what do you think my assumption is? That if you have been following him for any amount of time, he has turned you into what? A fisher of men. Now go to Luke 5. And this is kind of a little bit bigger story than the Matthew 4. So let me throw one thing out before we do this. How about we don't go fishing? How about we just go to the store and buy some fish? You say, well, how does that apply? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, preacher. I really don't think I'm going to do what you're talking about. I don't care if it's in the Bible. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write me a check. I'm going to put it in a little basket thing, and you go fish. You go fish, because we ain't going fishing. And you get all excited about it and cry about it and think that's so great. We'll give you money. We'll pay your way to go fish. It's just not how it works. Luke 5, verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So they're done. And if you start washing your nets, mending your nets, doing all that, you're not going back. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. This is the first that I know of instance in the scriptures of audio projection. This is brilliance. And if you've ever been on the water, you know that sound travels on the water. So if you get in a boat and ask someone to push you off from the shore and you begin to speak, your voice carries over the water to the crowd. So he didn't have a boombox, but he used the lake. So he speaks to the multitude from the boat. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, dude, it's implied dude, but Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, because you said to, I will. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So these two boats are so full of fish, they're going to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So these guys are in a fishing business together. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. If you think that's impressive, it's game on. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, what does it say at the end? And followed him. And what did it say in Matthew? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It's just a thing. I did a men's retreat in Colorado. I've done this thing place before. Get up there. Last time I was up there, a man got saved in the room in front of 150 men standing up, and I had a conversation with him. He got saved. It was crazy. So went back up there. Last night, I said to the group, is there anybody in this room who, if you died, you have no idea where you'd go? You're just not sure. And it got really, really quiet. You have no idea for certain that you'd make heaven. And the guy way over on the right, which I had spent a lot of time with that day and the night before, and two guys from his church, they all came together. So he raises his hand. And he raises his hand. I'm like, and I literally thought this. I thought, oh, great. Here we go. Distraction. He didn't understand the question. Right. He's going to start talking. I'm going to have to back him down and go, no, 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 that's not what I was talking about. Now, I went up there to speak and do a retreat. Right. That's why they asked me to come up there. A men's retreat, talk about all these things. And I did that. But see, what you don't know is I secretly went up there to go fishing. Because as it turns out, that's kind of what I try to do everywhere I go. Because that is what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? So you say, well, sweetie, I'm going to run to the store. I'll be right back. So somewhere implied in that is, and you know, I might not be right back because I'm going fishing. I'm going to the store, but this, you know, they might be biting, and so it could take me a little longer. So this guy says, raise his hand. And I say, okay, what are you thinking? And he starts in. And then I go, oh my gosh, I had made this terrible assumption that this guy was a believer. And he is clueless. He said, I even got baptized. This is in front of 130, 40 something men. He says, I even got baptized because the preacher that was at our church before, I felt pressure and so I got baptized, but I really don't know what it meant. So in front of all these men, share the gospel with him. He gets saved. His son happens to be working in the camp kitchen. Some kid sprints to get him. He hauls back. He comes up there. He's weeping. And this guy gets saved in front of all these people. The place erupts in applause. Turns out his son had been praying for him. I told him, call your wife. And I got a handheld mic and put it up to the phone. And he said, sweetie, I just prayed and became a Christian. And she said, nice. On the speaker. It was hysterical. Everybody started laughing. Then we had to tell her that she was being broadcast. So you say, well, wow, that's crazy. Somebody got saved. You got to stop being shocked that fish are caught when you go fishing. Oh, you're not going to believe it. We were just driving down the road and a fish flew in the window of the car. No, we stopped. We saw fish. We fished. We caught fish. If you ever go fishing and catch a fish, you'll be a fisherman, a fisherwoman. So don't knock it till you get one in the boat. John 21. So it's very fascinating to me the way these stories parallel. Now, a lot has gone by the time you get to John 21. Jesus told Peter, follow me. He followed him. 3 years solid. But Peter's, you know, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. It all went down. Jesus dies, raised from the dead. And I read this recently, but here we go again. John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Exact parallel to what happened to him before he met Jesus. Okay? So Jesus meets Peter. It's a fishing story. They're throwing their nets all night. They come in, they're cleaning their nets. Jesus shows up, speaks, says, try it again. Boom. Something happens. They catch all these fish. Two boats almost sink. And they're so overwhelmed, they abandon their business and say, we're with you. We will follow you. So now Peter's discouraged. He is going back to what he knows, actual fishing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You're on the wrong side, cast it on the right side. That's not what it means, but you were supposed to laugh. So anyhow, cast it on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Dude, we've been out here, again, dude implied, we've been out here all night long. What difference is it going to make? Like the fish are hiding on the right side, not the left side. What are you going to make them go whoop, 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 over here and we'll catch them? And by the way, that's exactly what he can do. He is king of the fish. King of the fish. Cast it on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Interesting to me too, that both stories, it ain't just a few, it's abundance. A lot of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, and this is talking about John, it's the Lord, it's him. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Peter's like, forget the fish, it's him. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Like, I already got some fish. And I said this last time we talked about this. I want to know when I get to heaven, where did you get the fish? Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's cooked breakfast. My thought is that he had some fish jump on the fire, but that sounds too like suicidal, so I don't think that's it. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast, yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And restores Peter. To do what? Not go back to being a fisher of fish, but to go back to being a fisher of men. So you say, well, I can't do this. How do you know you can't do it? Well, I don't know what I'd say. We'll help you. We'll get you a guide. We'll show you. We'll give you some examples of ways to do it. I have a way that I do it that works. We can show you a way to do it. You may have a way to do it. But don't die not trying. After that guy at the retreat called his wife, I said, who else has been praying for you? And he named a guy. I said, call him. So he put us on speaker. And it is fascinating to hear a new believer witness within minutes of becoming a Christian. Within minutes, he is sharing the gospel with his friend. He said, well, what did he say? You don't have to make anything up when you know what happened, right? Hey, Todd, just called to tell you, you know, it's a little awkward, but, you know, I gave my life to Jesus a little while ago. I prayed and, you know, you start talking about Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and raised from the dead. You can get that out. Now you say, but what if I get a fish on the line? That's why you have a guide sometimes. How do I get him off the hook? I'm not letting you off the hook, but I'll help you get him off the hook. Now, I have made an offer to take you fishing. And I might pick the place. You might pick the place. I'm not taking any women by themselves fishing. I always fish with two women at a time. I can tell you this. I will fish, Lord willing, I will fish to the death. That's what I will fish. And you know why I will fish to the death? Because there's nothing like seeing that water boil and seeing the power of God hit a person that you think the soil is so hard and so compact and impenetrable. And you say something like, God loves you so much that Jesus died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead for you. And the window opens and their heart softens. And they say yes. And you go, oh my gosh, it's a miracle. And it is, by the way, the biggest miracle that ever happens. All the people that Jesus raised from the dead, you know where they all are? They are dead. Because they all ended up dying, even though he raised them from the dead. All the people that he healed are dead. The greatest miracle is seeing somebody go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. You say, well, how far would you go to fish? I've told you these stories before. A friend of mine said, my dad lives in Mexico City. Would you go with me? I got to reach my daddy. I said, let's go. He said, well, why would you go to Mexico City? Now listen really closely. Because he asked me to. And God told me to. So what if Jesus approached you and said, "Hey, I'd like to go fishing. You want to go?" What would you say to him? "Nah. You go on by yourself, Lord." Imagine going fishing with Jesus. The things you'd learn. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And by the way, if you don't catch this stuff, Jesus was not born, spent 30 years preparing for his ministry, and then go rent a condo in Jerusalem and say, "Okay, I'll be here. Here's my address. If you need me, come. That's where I am." The whole story is about what? Him going fishing. What did he tell him? "Follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men." What did he do? He went where the people were. So there's a woman at a well. He goes to the well. Where are you willing to go? Why don't you ask him where the fish are? He's a genius. And there are lakes around here. I know a little bit about the lakes around here, and I know that these lakes have guides. Does anybody know a guide anywhere on a lake, anywhere near this area? Anybody know a guide? No guides. It's amazing what you can do with a guide. Save a lot of time. Turns out I've got a built-in guide, and he knows where the fish are. And just briefly, this is how cool this gets. So grandma has been praying for 20 years for her son, and the Holy Spirit says to me, "Hey, let's go fishing." And I go, "You know what? Why don't you just leave me alone? I'm having a bad day. I don't want to listen to worship music. I don't want to talk to you. I'm upset at you. I'm upset at everybody." "Okay, we'll try to find someone else." Grandma's been praying for 20 years, and her son is in town on a business trip, and he's going to be here, and I'm going to get you there if you'll pay attention. "No, you need to get somebody else, because I'm out." Or you say, "Let's go. Where are we going?" "Drive to the post office." "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir." "What do I do when I get there?" "I'll tell you when you get there." Now you say, "Well, what are you talking about here and drive to the post office?" My book says that my sheep hear my voice, right? How many times have I felt led to, let's say you're supposed to give money to help somebody, and you go, "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And boom, a dollar amount goes to your head. Where do you think that comes from? Now, if it's a low amount, it's Satan. If it's a high amount, it's God, you know. So just start listening. You say, "Well, I'm going to think I'm nuts, and people are going to think I'm nuts." When are you going to stop worrying about what other people think, including yourself? Go to the post office. And then you walk in the post office, and you say, "Well, what do I do now?" He says, "Just wait right here." You say, "I'm going to look crazy." Then look crazy. And you stand there because you know he's going to give you instructions, and you stand there, and he says, "There he is. Talk to him." And you go, "Yes, sir. Hey, how are you, sir?" "Good, and tell you." So this is going to sound a little crazy, but I was at home, and God told me to come here, and he told me to speak to you. What's going on with you? Now, he's going to think you're crazy. Or what if he says, "This is nuts. I cried myself to sleep last night asking God to send me help. And you came." And then all of a sudden you go, "This isn't so crazy after all." Because he's decided that we're all he's got. There's myriads and myriads of angels. Forget those Christians. Get in there. Disguise yourself as something. Let's go save the world. Give up on the bride. The bride ain't going to get it. Let's go get them. He didn't make that decision. He's still waiting on us. So Jesus goes to all these villages, cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, because of that, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, what does it mean that it's his harvest? It's only his harvest if it's his seed. So there's so many people. I did a funeral a few days ago for a nephew of one of the families in our church, and 24 years old. I didn't know the young man. And a lot of people shared for about an hour, and then it was my turn, and I got up and I said, "You know, I got picked to do this funeral," and I said, "You may not be happy about that in a few minutes." I rarely turn down a funeral, even if I don't know the person. Now, why do you think I don't turn funerals down? Because, baby, funerals, you don't even have to throw anything in the water. They are on the surface. So why would I miss that extraordinary fishing opportunity? Now, it gets intense. And there's some people here that were there. And I lowered the boom in the most loving way I could. And I said to them, I said, someone in this room is next. And I said, apparently you don't have to be old to die, and pointed at the casket of a 24-year-old. So if you're next, where are you going? The other little piece of that is I pretty much wept through the whole presentation. You say, well, dude, I'm not risking that. Why would you weep at a fishing hole like that? Because you realize that it is literally life and death. And that there are people in that room that if they don't figure it out, they will be lost forever and ever and ever and ever. If you saw a dog fall through the ice, you'd risk your life in some cases to save a dog who had fallen through the ice. But we won't help a dying soul. We'll watch him fall through the ice. Oh, Lord, bless that young man. Hope he makes it. Instead of pulling everything off and going in. Jesus took it all off and jumped in. And what a place to jump in. So I'll warn you about verse 38. If you pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest, there's a good chance you get recruited. Because it doesn't make sense to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send laborers if you're not willing to be one of the laborers. Go to Romans 1:16, a couple more and we're out of here. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So if I asked you, are you ashamed of the gospel? Here's the dilemma. We have gotten so concerned about what everybody else thinks about us on social media and just socially, period. Like, oh my gosh, if I say that or take a stand, I am going to be canceled, unliked. I will disappear off of the planet. Equals, I am ashamed because I'm worried more about what someone's going to think about me than them and their eternity and what God thinks about me and why he's left me here. Noah, I'm not going to talk about Noah today, but Noah, pretty crazy deal. Build an ark, take 100 years. Everybody in the world thought he was nuts. At least build it in a shipyard, buy some water. Oh, no, no, God doesn't want that. He tells you to do something, do what he told you to do. And if you look stupid, look stupid.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
At that retreat, I told a story about two young men who went fishing. And one had a license and one did not. And the game warden rolled up on him. And one of the boys took off running. And the game warden chased him until the kid couldn't run anymore. And he stopped out of breath. And the warden said, let me see your fishing license. And he pulled it out of his pocket and handed it to the warden. He said, dude, why did you run? He said, my buddy doesn't have a license. So I know this is intense. It seems like it's all intense, right? It's just the world's on its way to hell and we got the answer. And you got to make up your mind if you're stuck. Well, I have a family and I have kids and I have all this stuff. Enough excuses already. Jesus loves to fish. You say you follow him. He's going to teach you to fish. Go fish. Go fishing. If you don't catch anything, go back. Ask the guide where they're biting. Have some fun already, right? Then it gets fun. Then you think, wow, now I think I know why I'm still on the planet. I'm here to fish, and I'm here to turn them into followers who will learn how to fish and turn them into followers who will learn how to fish. And when you're dead and gone, there'll still be people fishing.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.